Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with pastor of Reunion Church in Dallas, Texas, Richard Ellis. He'll take the next few minutes to encourage us with Christmas hope and to challenge us to learn more and grow closer to God's greatest gift, His Son, our Savior, Jesus. It's the 25 Talks of Christmas, a different holiday-themed talk each and every day, all month long. Of course, you can always listen to, download, and share this or any talk anytime from the 25 Talks of Christmas Advent calendar at richardellistalks.com. So let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Extra Virgin. So if you're an olive oil connoisseur, you know that they're not all the same. If you see just olive oil, it's just olive oil. If it's not extra virgin, then it's not extra virgin. But sometimes if it says extra virgin, it's not always extra virgin. So here's how you know if it really is extra virgin olive oil. It has to be unrefined. It has to contain no more than 1% oleic acid. It has to be produced only through cold pressing. It cannot be chemically modified, and it has to be reviewed and approved by international standards. So I've got a friend in the room who has a friend who actually grows olives and makes his own olive oil. And when you taste that, it's expensive, but there's a difference, right? Because it's truly extra virgin olive oil. So we're not going to talk about that hardly at all today, but thought that would be interesting. So slang for extra. How many of you know some girl, and if I said she's so extra, you would know what I'm talking about? Kids like know some of those girls. Well, hey, no pointing. So the slang for extra is exceptional in some way beyond what is expected or usual, okay? So I'm going to talk to you about an extra virgin today. Now, I'm going to do this as gently as I can, and I'm going to start out with this. And it is very important to make sure that you don't accessorize your Christianity too much, because then you're adding extra things that are not in the book. Okay, so I'm about to cross some lines here that are going to be very difficult for some people in the room, but probably for people outside of the room. The Virgin Mary, which she's, you know, you say, well, what's extra about that? There's only one time in history that it ever happened or will happen that a virgin conceives and has a son, and that is Mary. Okay, it's never going to happen again. Didn't happen before her. It was foretold in Isaiah 7:14. We'll read that in a second, possibly, that a virgin would come. So here's the danger. Somewhere along the way, somebody says, we got to turn her into something else. Okay? Now you say, but she's special. I get that. But she's not extra special to the point of something that is called an immaculate conception. Okay? So now if you'll just follow with me a minute, I'll give you the definition of the word immaculate, first of all. The word immaculate means perfectly clean, neat, or tidy, free from flaws or mistakes, perfect, or free from sin. So are you willing to go as far as to say that like Jesus, Mary is free from sin? Okay? And you say, well, that's not what I believe or what I think. Let me retell you what an immaculate conception is. It is the conception of the Virgin Mary free from original sin by virtue of the merits of her son Jesus. And the Catholic Church specifically teaches that God acted upon Mary in the first moment of her conception, keeping her sinless. So as gently and as calmly as I can say this, it's just not true. Now you say, but my whole prayer life, my whole everything just went up in smoke. It's okay, I got you a backup. Okay, I got you some way to get through. So here's the danger. You say, but I've been taught certain things, I've been told certain things, and big, important people, and a lot of people believe these things, so the sheer number of people who believe it must make it true. That's never the truth about the truth. The number of people who believe something to be true does not make it true. Now, you may like Mary, you may think she's a cool girl, you may love the story, all that. But if you find yourself talking to Mary to get to her son, it's very dysfunctional. You say, but those are the prayers I was taught. I understand that. That's why I'm trying to be very gentle here. You say, you're asking me to chop up and throw out a big chunk of kind of where I came from or who I am. No, I'm asking you to go to the scriptures and ask the Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian, show me. And if you cannot find it in the scriptures, you need to let it go. And then you can go to the next thing. You say, well, but if I don't go through Mary, then I'll go through one of the saints. Well, let me say this calmly as well. Then you should be praying through me because I'm one of the saints. So, dear God, I come to you through Saint Richard. You say, well, you're not a saint. My book says we're all saints if we're Christians. To the saints. So you say, well, no, I mean something else. You better find it in the scriptures if you mean something else. So what are you going to end up with if you boil all this down? You're going to end up praying in Jesus' name because that's all you need. And I'll read you verses on that in just a second. Well, let's do that. 1 Timothy 2. We're going to jump around uncharacteristically today. So 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then look at verse 5 and focus on the word one. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. One mediator. You don't need another mediator if there's only one. Okay? So, how do you pray? One of my favorite things in the whole world is a new believer or a young believer, and put them on the spot, just me and them usually, and I'll say, you know what? They think I'm going to pray. We have a meeting. They think I'm going to pray for them. I go, okay, you pray. Well, I can't pray, right? You know, they think they got to give a speech. This is not giving a speech, okay? So here's how simple praying is. Our Father, this day sucks, right? I'm not liking this day. And you said this is a day that you made, and I'm supposed to rejoice and be glad in it. Well, this day sucks. And I don't like this day. So I don't know what you're doing up there, but I'm not crazy about what you're doing up there today. So let's talk about it. And you say, well, oh, he's going to squash you like a bug. Not yet. And I've been having some pretty serious conversations with him for a long time. Now, the Bible talks about us coming boldly before him. That's boldly. Now you say, well, is that where the prayer ends? Not necessarily. Because sooner or later, he's going to say, I tell you what, read some of my mail and let's talk about it. Pick you a letter. Read some of my mail. Let's go over the mail, my letters. Then you start reading, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Like, okay, so it's going to be okay. Yeah, it's going to be okay. You going to be all right? I'm going to be all right. Okay, here we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, why do I pray in Jesus' name? I got no other name. What name are you using? What kind of conversations are you having? So, are we dissing, throwing Mary under the bus? No. Let's read about her. Luke chapter 1. So you say, well, if she's not perfect, if she's not sinless, if she's not immaculately conceived, then what is she? She is a very special young woman who got picked by God before the foundation of the world, I'm sure, because that's how all this works, to house the Son of God. Luke chapter 1. So look at this. The first part of it is Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, getting pregnant with John the Baptist. We're going to skip over that and get down to the Mary section. So verse 23, so it was as soon as the days of his service, Zacharias, Elizabeth's husband's service in the temple, where he finds out he's going to have a baby and she's barren, it's a miracle about to happen. As soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. Now in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, okay? Betrothed to a man. She's engaged. She's a virgin whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. Now, is she an extra virgin? Yeah. Not to the sinless extent, but she's not the first virgin that ever lived or ever would live. But she's highly favored. She's extra. Because of all the virgins, all the girls in all of history, for some reason, in the fullness of time, God picks Mary. That's pretty cool. So I don't discount that. Highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, among all women. You're blessed, so you're highly favored. The Lord is with you, and blessed are you among women. That's pretty extra, okay? That's pretty cool stuff to hear. And this, as I said earlier in Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. So if she knew Isaiah 14 and ever heard that in her life and put that prophecy with the angel Gabriel showing up and saying, you're it, it's a big moment. Don't underestimate that. Verse 29, but when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Angels usually start with this, or it shows up pretty quick because this is pretty scary stuff. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. That's all pretty extra. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? She's going back to just basic, practical, physical things. I hear what you're saying, but I'm a virgin. I have not known a man. How is this going to happen? And he keeps going. Verse 35, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Underline that if you're comfortable underlining stuff in your Bible. Don't start with what's impossible. Start with God, with whom nothing is impossible. If you start here and try to make your way there, you'll quit, you'll give up. Start there and work your way down. Because with him, nothing is impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Okay, that verse 38 is a big verse. And if you can get the principle and the wording on that for your own life, Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Okay, I'm a servant. Let it be to me according to your word. That's when and where your life will start changing. God comes along and says, okay, this is what I want for you. This is what's best for you. I know you're not interested in that right now, but this is what's best. And you finally say, okay, how's this going to happen? Okay, here's how it's going to happen. Either you're in or you're out. And you say, okay, I'm the maidservant, the manservant, and be it unto me according to your word. And then you say, here we go, game on. And then what could happen? Go to Luke chapter 11. And this is just a little reinforcement here for you. You say, well, let's get back to Mary and why she's not extra in the sinless category. And this is just one example. Luke 11:27. And this is in the middle of Jesus doing some powerful, miraculous stuff. And out of nowhere, these two verses, and it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice. So she's out loud, pretty loud, and says this. Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you. Well, that sounds like a nice thing to say. I don't even know your mama's name, but blessed is her womb and her breast that nursed you. You say, well, you know, how would Jesus respond? Well, thank you very much. My mama's name is Mary. I was born, he could get into all that. What does he come back with? But he said, more than that, not discounting that, but more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So if Mary was, you know, all that, of all people in Scripture, Jesus would have gone off on his mama. You say, well, he's not putting her down. No, he's saying as great as she is and as great as that was and is, it's not about that. What is it about? Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Now, what did Mary do? Be it unto me according to your word. What is it replete through Scripture? And if you listen to me preach and go back over and over and over, you'll say, well, you keep saying the same thing. Jesus is the only answer. And unless you apply what you hear, your life will never change. So you say, well, I go to church. I'm not knocking going to church. Going to church is impossible biblically, for one thing. I know what you mean when you say that. You can't go to church. It's not a place. It's a people. So you can be the church. But to be the church, you have to discover what the Scriptures say. And even if your tradition or your preferences are confronted by Scripture and Scripture won't yield, you got to make a decision. And God says, okay, what are we doing? Are you going to hold on to all that? Or are you going to hold on to me and trust me? And so you shed some things, you pick up truth along the way, but you change when you apply what he says and what you hear. And so he says, this is the will for your life. And you say, yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Be it unto me according to your word. And then that's what you live. Or you just go through your whole life attending church services, listening on the radio, listening to podcasts, whatever you're listening to. And if you say to yourself, I'm absorbed with Bible studies and all this stuff, my life isn't changing. Stop for a second. Say, how much of it are you applying to your life personally? How many of you have deodorant at the house? Raise your hand. A little shocking because I've been around some of you recently. So, okay. So deodorant is a thing. I buy them in these 3-packs, try to, same kind for years. And there's something crazy about my deodorant. If I pick a day and just somehow get out of the house, I've literally gotten in my car in a rush and realized I did not apply deodorant, drove back to my house and put it on. You know why we do that? Because you're going to stink without it. But it requires application. You say, well, but I have deodorant. I don't care what you have. I want to know what you put on this morning. Now, technically, you can be right. Oh, I got a whole case of deodorant. Well, have you opened it? Clearly not. So you keep collecting deodorants from all around the world, specialties, application, right? And that's where things start changing. So you say, well, I read it and I don't like what it says. You don't get to pick. And there's probably a good chance if you read it and you don't like what it says, the Holy Spirit's saying the reason you don't like it is you don't want to do what I want you to do. And this is where we are right now. Deal with it. Okay. Mark chapter 14. So let's go back to extra virgin. So Mary is chosen by God to serve a particular special thing that she does. Not like any other woman before or after. But that doesn't make her sinless. What it does make her is the womb that housed the Son of God. The Holy Spirit comes over her and Jesus, you say, well, how does that happen? How does that work? It's a God thing. But basically Jesus materializes sperm and an egg inside that womb, boom, and you got the Son of God on the planet. And people say, well, when did he stop being God? The answer is never. And this is not a sermon about abortion. You abort Jesus, you just killed Jesus. That's a person. He said, not till it's born. Then you go back and read the story where Mary is now pregnant with Jesus, walks in Elizabeth's house, and Elizabeth says the babe John in her leapt in her womb, and she was filled. Why? Because Mary walks in housing the God of the universe in her womb. He never stopped being God. He's a person before he's born. And that's another one of these areas you go, well, I don't agree with that because that's going to screw up my whole, you know, worldview. Make sure you're getting your worldview from the book, not from your worldview. So Jesus comes for what? To seek and to save that which is lost. Back where we read in Timothy, you know, there's a reason why he came and he did come through that womb, through Mary. And the whole thing is about living a sinless life so that he can do what? So that he can die. Mark 14, verse 26. And when they had sung a hymn, they've just finished doing the Passover meal together before Jesus was crucified. And it says that when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Now, that's where he goes out. Verse 27, then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. But he spoke more vehemently, if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said likewise. Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And guess what the word Gethsemane means? Oil press. So where does Jesus go to pray about what's about to happen to him? Mount of Olives in a garden called Gethsemane, which is where these olives are pressed and turned into oil. And if you've ever seen one of these presses, it's not a good day for the olives. It's tremendous amounts of pressure crushing that olive to get that oil out of that olive. Then they came to a place which is named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." So you say, well, what was going on? This man, this God-man, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, knows that he is about to take on all of the sin of the world, past, present, future, all sin. Literally, the Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So he knows what's about to hit him. So what does he say to him? Troubled, deeply distressed. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. Like, I am so overwhelmed. This feeling, what I'm going through now in this garden, this pressing, could kill me. Forget getting to the cross. This might crush me. He went a little farther, fell on the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you." Where have you read that? It's what the angel told Mary. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." But I'll tell you what's impossible. It is impossible for Jesus not to drink from this cup, not to die on a cross, because if he does, we don't make it. So you say, well, then God didn't answer his prayer. And thank God that God didn't answer his prayer. Because if he answered his prayer and Jesus had ditched, which you can have arguments, could he have said no? You can eat up a whole semester in a class doing that at seminary. So the Father did not say, okay, I'll just pull you out. And literally, what would that have meant? To hell with all of them. You say, wow, that's a serious thing for God to say. He didn't say that. "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." Now you say, well, I don't know how to pray. That's how you pray. All things are possible with you. This is what I'm facing. If it's possible, remove this. Nevertheless, not what I will, what you will. You praying that? Spoke to a couple thinking about getting divorced. So here's how you go to God with that prayer. You say, Lord, I want out. I can't do this anymore. I'm done. So if there's any way, all things are possible with you, so there's a way for me to get out of this marriage, then I want out. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Don't leave that little phrase off or you'll be in trouble, because you'll end up doing your will, and if it's not his will, you're in bigger trouble now. Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Anybody get a witness on that? Amen. Again, he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy and they did not know what to answer him. Then he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? It's enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And it kicks in, and there's no way around it. And he dies. So you say, well, you've been disrespectful to Mary. No, I haven't. I've been biblical for Mary. She's extra. But she doesn't need to be more extra than she is extra. She's a virgin. She did her part. No mention of her death. No mention of anything. Jesus did take care of her, even hanging on the cross, as you recall. She's down there, and behold your mom. She's your responsibility. So he was respectful. He took care of her. But she's not sinless. She's not perfect. She's not equal to Jesus. You say, but I just feel better thinking that. It's just not true. You need Jesus. That's who you need.
Thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks. This program has always been about not only providing daily encouragement, but also daily challenge to help us grow in our faith, to continue being shaped into the person God desires us to be as his hands, feet, and voice to our hurting world. You know, not only is that the mission of the Richard Ellis Talks program, it's also the great commission of Pastor Richard himself to clearly share the simple message of the gospel in a way that leads people to Jesus, to reach everyone together. So these 25 talks of Christmas this month is a creative way for you to reach a friend with some encouraging teaching. We've made it real easy for you to do just that from the website, richardellistalks.com. You'll see the Christmas Talks Advent Calendar, where every holiday-themed talk can be listened to, downloaded, or shared right from each day's door. The website is richardellistalks.com. So before we part ways for today, I'll remind you that you can automatically receive a direct text on your phone each and every morning that will link you to the most recent Christmas talk on the website Advent Calendar. Simply text the word Richard to our toll-free phone number, 855-6-RICHARD. That's the word Richard to 855-6-RICHARD. All this month, it's some Christmas words of hope, insight, and encouragement during the holiday season, when perhaps we need to hear the message of Emmanuel above the rest of the seasonal noise. So to automatically receive the daily link, text Richard to 855-6-RICHARD, and you'll have these 25 talks of Christmas whenever and wherever you're ready to listen. So until we get together for the next Christmas talk, thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.